No doubt it was a relevant message for him, but Paul was preaching with some tact, and he was preaching that which was reasonable. And I think preachers and those who are personal witnesses need to be very careful. You don't run up to somebody and fly in their face and say, "You're a great sinner. Do you know what you did last week?" Or at least, "I think I know what you did last week." And really all you end up doing is causing a whole pile of offense. You don't win people to the Lord by jumping on their every failure and every flaw and naming their sins one by one and causing great offense. The wisdom that Paul applied, the tact that he used, was that he preached the great truths of God's righteousness, God's call for men to be temperate, and the fact that there is a judgment day, but that applies to all men. And of course, the Spirit of God was working, and Felix's conscience was working, and he was trembling. But Paul did not point the finger right at Felix. Of course, it could have been the end of his own life if he did.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher, minister of our church and program here. And I pray the Lord will bless your heart today. We turn again to Felix, with Paul standing before him, testifying of the great things of the gospel. And I pray that your heart will be open to the gospel message, to the good news that the Lord Jesus saves. That's what the word gospel means, that the Lord Jesus has come to save sinners, and the news that God loves your soul. That's right. God, in his eternal love, turns in grace toward you to draw you, to invite you to be saved by sovereign grace. And here at Let the Bible Speak, it is our great privilege to expound the message of the gospel day by day, 5 and 5, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. And today we're turning again to this message on Felix in our series on the Apostle Paul. Our verse for today is 1 John 1:7, and I want you to hide this in your heart throughout today. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Take this to heart. The only way to be done with sin is to know the power of the blood of Jesus in your heart and life. Every Christian must trade continually with the blood of Jesus. That blood is the blood that he shed at the cross, the blood that he shed as a substitutionary offering, an instead of me sacrifice. And that blood was the payment, the satisfaction due to sin. And it is the defeating of sin and all the condemnation against us. And so every day the Christian is to appeal to the blood of Jesus. And here John, in his theological terms, puts it this way, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Note that the blood is a constant, ongoing, cleansing power in the Christian's life. It's not merely history. The death of Christ was once on the cross, but the effect, the impact, the value of that blood goes on and on. Because now the Lord Jesus, being no longer on the cross or in the tomb, he is at the right hand of the Father, and he is our high priest, interceding on the basis of that blood. And the Lord Jesus is presenting that blood. And we are to plead the merits, the victory of that blood, for our daily walk here on earth. The Christian life is not by some earthly technique. You cannot know Christian spiritual power by following 5 man-made rules. You can only know spiritual power by trading in the blood of Jesus. And that means praying, pleading, seeking the merits, the victory of that blood in your own life and in your soul. And so I trust the Lord will apply this to your heart today and get you to the cross afresh. Let's unite together in prayer. Father, we thank thee today for this light of thy word that tells us that there's victory for us and cleansing for us in the blood of Jesus. Cleansing for our minds and hearts, our conscience, and there is victory over every temptation, every guilt of sin. And I pray for every listener now that thou wilt apply the blood of Jesus to their hearts, their minds, and they will know that victory, and they will know the blessedness of living in the joy, the peace, the gladness of the Lord Jesus. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and manifest thyself in a very real way as we open up thy word. Thou hast ordained this means whereby we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that through the preaching of thy word today, that hearts will be drawn, hearts will be changed, and great glory will be added to the name of our Lord Jesus. So hear and answer for us. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, thank you for joining with us here at Let the Bible Speak, and we move immediately to our message in Acts 23, Paul standing before Felix.
Now these subjects, of course, are always relevant. They hit the nail on the head every time, and they search and they bring men before God about their life and their deeds and their words, for which all men will give account. This is not preaching that will just pass as a fad. In every generation, every age, these are very relevant issues. And Paul preached to Felix in a relevant fashion. Of course, these things are relevant to you tonight. Righteousness, God's standard, you're living up to, or the breaking of that standard, and the judgment that comes upon men that fly in the face of God. And of course, men today would do well to tremble about these very things and repent and turn to God. But Paul preached with relevance. And I don't need to turn to faddish things today to preach relevantly to men. These are issues that you are going to face. They're real to you. And you're going to have to give answer. But the third thing I would say in this verse is that Paul was reasonable. And that's the third lesson we have. Be reasonable. Paul used wisdom and tact before Felix. Paul did not name Felix by name. He did not name one of his particular sins or crimes. He did not look at Drusilla and say, you two are not properly married. He did not get into all the issues of the personal deeds of Felix. He preached in a general fashion. The great issues that are relevant, but they're relevant to all men. And they are relevant to Roman, to Greek, to Jew. And Felix could not say, well, this message is it's honed and dovetailed just for me. No doubt it was a relevant message for him. But Paul was preaching with some tact. And he was preaching that which was reasonable. And I think preachers and those who are personal witnesses need to be very careful. You don't run up to somebody and fly in their face and say, you're a great sinner. Do you know what you did last week? Or at least I think I know what you did last week. And really all you end up doing is causing a whole pile of offense. You don't win people to the Lord by jumping on their every failure and every flaw and naming their sins one by one and causing great offense. The wisdom that Paul applied, the tact that he used, was that he preached the great truths of God's righteousness, God's call for men to be temperate, and the fact that there is a judgment day, but that applies to all men. And of course, the Spirit of God was working, and Felix's conscience was working. And he was trembling. But Paul did not point the finger right at Felix. Of course, it could have been the end of his own life if he did. But nor would it have been wisdom and tact to do so. And I think there's something to learn here, that when we preach against sin and the things that offend God and the things that God will judge, that we let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Oh yes, we have a responsibility to preach against sin. I'm not going soft on sin here. Paul didn't go soft. We preach against sin. We preach against all ungodliness. We preach about everything that God is against and everything that God hates. But allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting of the individual heart. You get somebody that comes into church for a week or a month or whatever, and you start to witness to them, and they say to them, "Now, tell me what your weaknesses are and what your sins might be." It's going to cause offense. Or if I, as the preacher, do not apply some tact, and if perchance I come to know that an individual has sinned, particular sin in his life, and every time he comes to church, I name that sin, perhaps there's a point at which I'm trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, I have to be careful and say, I do not believe in going soft on sin. Let's preach on it this way that, as Paul did, in those general terms. And Paul found a way to be faithful to the truth. He did not pull any of the punches, and it obviously hit the mark, because Felix did tremble, and he felt the power of what Paul was saying, but he could not say to Paul, "You're just preaching against me." And if he did, Paul could have easily defended himself. "Look, sir, what I've said here today applies to all men, Jew and Gentile. It applies to me as well as to you." And I think there is the better part of wisdom and tact and a winning spirit as he stood before Felix seeking to preach the gospel to him. And so in preaching and witnessing, be reasonable. Be reasonable. The fourth thing is be reformed. Now I want to explain this one. Paul did not point an unrepentant Felix to Christ for salvation. He did not tell him, "Now you're ready to get saved." Although he was trembling, although there was some sense of his own sin and his own wrongdoing, and he was uncomfortable under the ministry of what Paul was saying about these things, even though Felix trembled, it was not reformation. He was still a corrupt, hardened sinner, and he was still a rejecter of the truth of the gospel. And at this point, this man was not ready to be converted. He was not ready to be saved. Why? Because he still loved his sin. He was still holding on to his sin. And therefore, Paul didn't say to Felix, "You can now get right with God." And we're told here that Felix began to make some excuses. "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, I bring this up, be reformed, because in easy believism and in evangelism, which follows the Finney model, of easy believism, that if you can get a man just to say the words and to repeat a little formula of salvation, you can get that man saved. That was not the approach of the Apostle Paul. And while Felix was unrepentant, unbroken over his sin, while he was still in love with his sin, there was no attempt to point that man to the Lord Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't tell them about the Lord Jesus. Of course he did. He told them the whole gospel message from A to Z. Paul didn't pull any punches. He told them the way of the cross, the way of salvation. But Felix was not ready to be saved until he was broken over his sin. And that's what I mean here by be reformed. And it is proper and right to preach all the fullness of the gospel to men, but we must call them to forsake their sins, without which they can never be saved. Without repentance, you can never be saved. And I, of course, call you tonight. The only way that you can have an interest in the Lord Jesus is when you are truly repentant over your sin. You can have no assurance of salvation until you are willing to flee from all known sin.
I thought sure I'd go to heaven, had worked hard a place to win. Then I read where God pronounced me dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in sin can dead men labor? What good works can dead men do? Dead in sin, no hope of heaven, what may I aspire to? In despair I cried to Jesus, sinner's hope and sinner's plea. All my sins he took upon him, but he gave new life to me. The sinless one in mercy undertook the price to pay. Dead in sin, but Christ the Savior for this poor lost soul has died. And the hope of ransomed sinner rests upon the crucified. In despair I cried to Jesus, sinner's hope and sinner's plea. All my sins he took upon him, but he gave new life to me.
So Paul here was reformed. Lastly, be a reckoner. Paul used all his powers of persuasion. It says here that he reasoned, and as he reasoned of righteousness, he did not just preach casually to Felix and say, well, the gospel's A, B, C, D, there it is, there you have it, take it or leave it. Paul reasoned. He lined up and marshaled his arguments. He set it out before Felix, the reasonable faith that he believed in. And he sought to convince this man and win his mind and heart with the truth and to bring him from that place of wicked practice to a repentant attitude. Paul reasoned. He persuaded. He hammered home each and every truth that he set before Felix. And of course, Felix needed to be reckoned with. He was a wicked man, an ungodly man, and he needed to be brought to the bar before God. And Paul did that very effectively. He brought Felix to stand before God. He needed to see the urgency of a soul. And you will see that he was making excuses, and in a convenient season, I will call for thee. And how many to this day come up with the same excuse. Well, I hear what you're saying, Paul, but it's not a good time. I hear what you're saying, Paul, and I can't answer your arguments. I'm trembling with what you're saying, but, you know, it just doesn't fit into my lifestyle right now. I'll hear you again. Maybe you're doing that tonight. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, right now I'm too young for this. I've got a whole lot of ideas and plans and things that I've dreamed about that this would upset it all. If I was to become a Christian now, if I was to repent of my sinful ways and turn my life and hand it over to God and to trust the Savior now, what would happen to my plans? Too young. It's not convenient. And then there are those in business, and they said, I'm too busy. And right now I'm trying to get on my feet business-wise. It demands long hours, and it demands that I can't commit myself to a Christian life. That upset my whole style of business. It's not convenient. And in midlife, you might say, well, things will slow down for me before too long. Right now, I've got a lot of demands and pressures that are upon me, and I'm at that stage of life where everything is just crowding in, but in another 5 years or 10 years, things will gear down a bit, and maybe then I'll consider being a Christian. Paul would persuade with Felix. He reasoned with him. And I reason with you tonight that if there's someone here and you're not saved, there may never be another convenient time. And you can be absolutely sure that the more that you put off the hour of salvation, the more hardened, the more worldly, the more callous you become to the claims of the gospel in your life. We don't meet this Felix again in the Bible. When he was losing his position, he didn't repent. He left Paul in prison. Paul ended up in this jail for 2 years. You remember, Jerusalem was just a little diversion to take the funds and the support for the needy brethren in Jerusalem, and he was supposed to be on his way to Rome, and now 2 years in a jail, all because of this wicked man, Felix, this unprincipled man who knew that Paul had done nothing wrong or of reason for bonds or for prison. But he left him, seeking the pleasure of the people. That's the real heart of Felix. Paul reasoned with him. I reason with you tonight. Righteousness. There is right and wrong in this world. Temperance. You can't stop sinning in the flesh. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner in practice. Judgment. Well, the Bible says you're condemned already. The Bible says you don't need to wait until you go to the judgment seat to discover whether you're right with God or not. The Bible says that all those that are out of Christ, without a Savior, are condemned already. John 3:18. Condemned already. There's judgment. And you tell me, but I'll wait until it's more convenient? What a foolish idea. Paul reasoned. And I appeal to you tonight, even with boys and girls, teenagers here, give your heart and your life to the Lord tonight. This is the night the Lord is speaking to you. Now is the opportunity of salvation. There can be no guarantees. of a tomorrow or a next time, but you're here tonight. You know you need to be saved. The Lord Jesus will save you if you repent and turn away from sin. I reckon with you tonight. I bring you to give account for your actions, what you're doing with the gospel. And I trust we learn from Paul here that even in the most difficult, threatening situation, that we be faithful, that we be responsible, and that we plead with you for your soul.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.